Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 10. And if you found your place, go ahead and stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you're physically able. We're going to begin in verse 24 today. We're going to read verses 24 through 33. Verses 24 through 33. You can join me out loud on the even verses, and so we'll start together. And then I'll read the odd verses by myself, beginning together in verse 24. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I ask therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me?" And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Today, as we look to this passage of Scripture, you say, "Pastor, what in the world does this have to do with prayer?" Well, it does, because Cornelius gives a testimony of his. Okay, there you go. See, that's the connection. All right. And as we move toward the end of the year, we're going to have, we have several, I think I'm down to about 10 or 12 messages left on prayer. And I want you to understand that I'm not searching for new things to preach. Okay, that's not the thing. Because they say, "Well, Pastor, you already committed. You're going to preach every sermon on prayer these Sunday mornings, and now you're running out of material. So now you're going to start creating new doctrines and things, right?" No, that's not the case. Because I really believe what I started out and said is that the depth of this subject is not one that we really take the time to explore. We mention prayer, and then we think, well, with one mention of it, and one description of it, and one definition of it, okay, now we know about it, that's it. Okay, but it's really not. Okay? Now, today's sermon is actually a little bit bottom shelf. Is everybody okay with bottom shelf sermons? All right? So what does that mean? What do you mean by that? It means it's like so simple that, maybe we shouldn't even bother preaching it. You know what I mean by that? But guess what? Sometimes and most of the time, those are the things that we neglect the most. When someone says, "Don't sweat the small stuff," I'm saying sweat the small stuff. Okay? Because the small stuff is what makes the world go round. It's just those intricate things that kind of happen behind the scenes, or they're so easy. Like, how many of you there's things that are so easy you don't even give much attention to them. But if you would, life could be so much better. Because, those easy things are sometimes the things that get neglected, or sometimes the things that get overlooked, and then they cause big problems. And that's what happens here in our lives. And so today's sermon title is very simple, and it has to do with what Cornelius said. Today's subject matter is heard prayer. H-E-A-R-D. All right? Heard prayer. Not H-E-R-D like a bunch of cows. All right? No, it's not. No, all of us praying together is heard prayer, right? You know? No. The other kind, all right? And so, heard prayer. Because we say, okay, well, yeah, we pray, but is it heard? You say, of course it's heard. It's simple, you know, yeah. Not so simple. You know, many times we're in a position in our life where we pray, and what do we feel like? We feel like it's not heard. Why do we feel that way? You know, or have you heard people say, I feel like when I pray, it's hitting the ceiling and falling right back down, right to the ground. Why do we feel that way? Well, it's actually fairly simple. Like I said, bottom shelf. But you're not going to like the reason. So let's look at our text today and let's see what Cornelius has to say. And of course, I went back and we caught some of the story as Peter's coming into to the city there, to Caesarea, where Cornelius is. And he was waiting for Peter, and he had gathered a whole household of people to hear Peter. And he called together his kinsmen and near friends. And Peter comes in, and Cornelius is so much in awe, he falls down and he worships Peter. Now, please understand, this is part of the heathen in Cornelius coming out here, okay? And so Peter correctly straightens him out, and he says, "Hey, look, no, stand up. I'm the man, just like you are, and don't bow down and worship me." And so he goes on and. And he tells Peter, Peter says this. He says, "Look, you all understand that I'm not supposed to be here. All right, I'm a Jew. I'm a devout Jew. Y'all are Gentiles. You got the bacon out. You've got the crispy bacon. You've got the floppy bacon. And I'm not supposed to be here. Okay? Right? Because a good household should have a little bit of both. For those that like it, you know. Just to be accommodating, a good host, right? Okay. But he says, I'm not supposed to be here. I want you to know, according to the law, I'm not supposed to be here. And so he tells them about this story. He said in verse 28, he said, "But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." So he says, okay, God's brought me here. He showed me that I'm supposed to be here. He told me to come with you and to come to this place. So he says here in verse 29, he says, "I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me." He says, "Why am I here?" Okay? So that's I wanted to give you the background of this story. And so if you go back to the beginning of chapter 10, you understand that Cornelius is in prayer. God sends him an answer. And he tells him to send for Peter. Peter there is hungry. He's waiting for lunch to be cooked. And so he goes up and he has this vision, right? And the sheet comes down. We all know the story. And it is twofold, by the way, for those that would say we should be Jewish and only eat things according to Jewish customs. Listen, by the way, let me just say this. I'm not against that. Go ahead. It's probably a healthy way to live. You know, knock yourself out. That's fine. But there's two things about this thing. It allows us, if you will, the freedom from those ceremonial laws. Okay? So bacon's fine. All right? It's probably not the most healthy for you. Any doctors in the house? Okay? It's probably not, but it's not, we're not like, you know, showing that we're not saved. And there's people that go way too far in these things and trying to describe that we should be Jews. By the way, that's nothing new. They're called Judaizers in the scriptures, and the scriptures deal very well with that. But the second thing that was saying was that, Peter, it's okay to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And aren't you glad for that? Okay, you ought to be, because most all of us in here are Gentiles, unless you have some Jewish roots that I don't know about. Okay? But regardless, that's what God was doing. So God does this work, but here's how he went about it. So Peter is asking the question, what intent have you sent for me? And then Cornelius gives the answer. And here's where we want to kind of linger this morning. All right, for the short time that we have. Actually, we have more time than I thought. Thank you, Brother Camp, for expediting the song service. That gives me more time to wax elephants. Okay. Okay, never mind. That's a play on words. You know, wax eloquent. Never mind. Some of you didn't get it. Okay. Now, Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. So here's an element, right? When you want to get a hold of God, we've talked about fasting, right, and prayer, denying the flesh of food to hear from God, to get an answer from God, right? I mean, that's an element, a part of prayer. Okay, so Cornelius said, I was fasting until this hour. And he says, at the ninth hour, he says, I prayed in my house. Okay, so Cornelius said, I brought a solemn request to the supreme being. Now, let's go back to chapter 10, verse 1. Verse 2. It says he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Okay, so we see here that he had some sort of faith. Now we know that his faith wasn't, if you will, perfect yet, because God, what did God send to him? A gospel preacher. All right? So you need to understand this story. He was a centurion of the Italian band. Okay? So he was a Roman soldier. And as a Roman soldier, he was in charge of the occupied area where Rome had occupied there in Israel. So what has he seen in his journeys and in his travels around the world, and now where he is, if you will, stationed in Israel? What is he picking up on? This God, right? The God of the Jews. Okay, so at this point, he's kind of like a Pharisee, right? Where he fears this God, he believes in this God, but he doesn't yet know this thing about Jesus. He doesn't yet know about this thing of salvation. He believes in God and he understands about God and he knows that he should pray to God, right? Because he's been amongst these people. What has he seen in the synagogues? What has he seen out there as the Pharisees stand on the street corners, right, and beat their chest and pray out to God? And he's seen that example. So we see here a lost man seeking God. And so what is God going to do? I'm sorry. You're a centurion. You're a Roman. You're oppressing my people. No thanks. No. We know the scriptures tell us that God is willing that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. That's a good word, by the way. Now, so he is looking for an answer. He's sincere. As he prays in his house, he is requesting of the supreme being, and he's making a solemn request. And I want you to look at what it says back here in verse 30. He prayed in his house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is, what's the word? Heard. So as we think about this thing of heard prayer, we need to understand what it takes. It takes a sincerity of the person praying for that prayer to be heard. Folks, that's why these things we've talked about, personal prayer and purposeful prayer and all these things that we've talked about recently, that's why our prayer is not just something to recite, just something to do, something to say. It needs to be real prayer. And did Cornelius want to know these things? Was he seeking after God? Yes, he was. And this man that stood before him in bright clothing said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard. Wouldn't we like a confirmation like that, right? We're kneeling down and praying and beseeching God and looking for God. And wouldn't it be nice to see, you know, the lights just get a little brighter and something says to you, your prayer is heard. Woo! Oh, that would be great, right? Now listen, in our spirit, you know when your prayer is heard. Now this is part of the message today. I want you to understand this. You say, what? You just said, Pastor, a lot of times we feel like our prayer hits the ceiling and falls back down and we don't know if it's been heard or not. Oh, trust me. Don't raise your hand, but all of you know there are times where you've prayed and you knew that God heard your prayer. So let's analyze that a little bit. Why? Why did you know? Well, it really boils down to simply these things. As we look through the scriptures, by the way, the word heard simply means to perceive by the ear, but not just to perceive, but to perceive unto action. So when we talk about the word here in this particular Hebrew word, the Greek word here, but the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, tells us that it's to hear intelligently, to listen, to hearken, to attend to. So it's not just that God notices that we're saying words. He's actually going to do something about it. Okay? So when you say your prayer is heard, right? I like to watch cooking shows, you know, and you watch these cooking shows, maybe it's a show about a bunch of people working together in a kitchen, right? And one chef's calling out the orders, right? And what do the other chefs say? Heard. Thank you, Sebastian. Okay. Sebastian's a chef. He knows what this is, right? Now that doesn't mean that he just heard the words of the head chef. It means that he heard it unto action. That he's going to do something about what he hears. Okay. And so that's what we're talking about today is when we talk to God, he says, heard. Your prayers are heard. And why are they heard? Well, go to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Now, I want you to know our scriptures are full of verses about this subject. And once again, I'm not going to take all of your time, just most of it today, as we look at some of these things. I did say that. I was supposed to be funny, but I guess it wasn't. Sorry, I don't mean to steal so much of your time all the time. But look at Psalm 66 in verse 13. As we look about this thing of heard prayer, we get this from David, and he says this. He says, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. Now, if you think back to our text, Cornelius was sincere, right? He prayed always and he gave and did his alms. Okay, so he showed it with his giving, if you will, as well. He says, David said, I'll go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. He says, I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. He says, come and hear all ye that fear God. So here's another thing, right? So Cornelius feared God and Cornelius gave alms, right? Are you with me here? So just like David said here, right? And David said, these things are true. And I'm going to come before God here. He says, come in here, all you that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. He says, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. So he's praising God, and he cries out to God, and he's sincerely seeking after God. But then he makes this statement in verse 17, or in verse 18. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, I told you today this is very bottom shelf. If we want to experience heard prayer, we need to follow all the things that we've talked about before as far as the heart prayer and the Holy Spirit prayer and the personal prayer and the purposeful prayer, and all these things are very true. And we need to have, if you will, a time that we set aside for prayer, and we go by the model prayer, and we include worship in our prayer, and all of these things are just and right and correct. Even in the model prayer, it tells us to take care of verse 17. Forgiveness of sins. And forgiving others. But this thing of regarding iniquity in our heart is what stops our prayers from being heard. Go over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John in chapter 1. As you're turning there, I want to let you know about this man, Cornelius. He was a just man, although he was lost, but he wanted to be saved. His heart was drawn to the Lord. And as we look at 1 John, I want you to understand something here. The reason why Cornelius' prayer was heard, and the reason why our prayers can be heard, is because we want to be right with God. Okay? He wanted to be right with God. He sought after God. He said, God, I want you to hear me. I want whatever it is you have for me. Please give it to me. Please send it to me. And by the way, that's what God wants from us. And that's what regarding iniquity means. It means that we don't want to let it go. We don't want him to take it away. Everybody understand what we're talking about here? So as we look at 1 John 1:9, just as much as Cornelius wanted to be saved, he just didn't know all the answers. But we should want to be clean before God. Look at 1 John 1:9, or 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, stop right there. That is regarding iniquity in our heart. That's the definition of it. Because we come before God and we say that we're having fellowship with him, but we're walking in darkness and not in the light. And by the way, we were wanting to walk in darkness. We don't want to give up that sin. We don't want to give up that lifestyle. We don't want to give up that behavior. We're regarding iniquity in our heart. We don't want to let it go. And we don't want to get it right. But yet we still want to say, I have a tie, I have a suit, I have a Bible under my arm, I'm in a church pew, I'm walking with God. But you know what I am? A liar! Because I'm walking in darkness. And I'm regarding iniquity in my heart, and the Bible tells us that the Lord will not hear us. Furthermore, it says here in 1 John, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship one another with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. By the way, we all know verse 9, but if you skip to verse 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So you see, we need to understand that if we want our prayers answered, we have to come to God on his terms. He's not going to walk in darkness, folks. He is light. And if light expels darkness, he's not going to hear you if you regard iniquity in your heart. Now, back in Psalm 66, I'm not going to ask you to turn back there, but I want to read the last part of this. David said in verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's a colon there, but he says, but verily God hath heard me. Now, why was David able to say that? He goes on and he says, he hath attended to my voice of prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Okay? The reason why David could say that is because he was not regarding iniquity in his heart. He said, if I do. If I do, the Lord will not hear me. One of the wonderful things about David, and we alluded to this when we talked about heart prayer, but I want you to understand that David, yes, had mistakes, had shortcomings, had times in his life where he did regard iniquity in his heart. But for the overall idea, David was a man after God's own heart. Cornelius was after God. He was trying to get a hold of God. He was doing everything that he knew to do to get a hold of God. But it wasn't enough. So what did God do? I'm going to send you Peter to preach you the gospel so that you can have this free gift of eternal life so you can be saved, Cornelius, because I know your heart. I know you're not regarding iniquity. You're not trying to keep something back from me. You are coming to me whole hog. Right? Yeah, okay. I thought that was funny too. No. Because it's, you know, Cornelius and all that. But here's the thing. God wants us to be heard, but he's not going to change who he is. Just listen to some of the things that David says in the book of Psalms. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Think about that for a second. Does that sound like someone who's regarding iniquity in their heart? He says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. He says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Psalm 17, he says, hear the right, O Lord. Does that sound like someone who's regarding iniquity in their heart? No. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips, he says. Says, God, I'm not faking it. God, this is not a lie. I really want you to hear me. And I really want to be righteous before you. He says, hear my prayer, O Lord, in Psalm 39, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as my fathers were. Psalm 54, hear my prayer, O God, and give ear to the words of my mouth. Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. Psalm 64, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Psalm 69, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Psalm 84, O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted. When he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Psalm 143, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. What is all this talking about? It's talking about our state of being when we come to God in prayer. Now, here's what I'm not doing today. I'm not saying the only way that you can get your prayers heard is to be perfect. I'm not saying that. But I am telling you this, or if you will, I am cautioning you of this. Are you regarding iniquity in your heart? You see, I can sit here and listen to a sermon, and I probably should be convicted of my sin. But if I've hardened my heart, and I'm going to stand defiant before God and say, no, I'm not going to get that right. I don't want to get that right. Frankly, I like my sin. It pleases me. I get pleasure from it. I don't want to give it up. Let me ask you a question. If I go down to the altar, or if I just bow my head in prayer, is God going to hear me? The answer is no. And we wonder why our prayers are not heard. We wonder why they hit the ceiling and fall back down. Folks, we don't have to wonder. We should know. Because guess what? We know ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what you're keeping back from God. You know what you're holding back from God. And I'm not saying that everybody in here is doing this, but I'm going to say probably most of us are at some point in time or another. Maybe not right this moment. Maybe right now you're doing great. But can I tell you something? There were times in his life that David wasn't right with God. And God didn't hear his prayer. Why else would he say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but I know that he hath heard me, right? I mean, he knew at that moment he wasn't holding anything back. But he knew that at other times in his life he had been. And that's why we do not have heard prayer. Folks, it's because of us. God is not accountable to you. He's not. He's only accountable to his own word. So he has to be righteous. He has to be holy. He has to be light. He cannot walk in darkness. And he's not going to answer our prayer if we're regarding iniquity in our heart. So what do we have to do? We've got to get it right. And most of all, we have to want to let it go. Now, does that mean it's not going to overtake you again? No. And by the way, I'm not for this faking out God thing where you, oh yeah, I'm going to go and pray at the altar. I'm going to lay it down, but as soon as I walk out the door, I'm going to pick it back up again. You know if you're trying to manipulate God that way, and listen to me, you're never going to manipulate God. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. Okay? You're not going to trick him. Right? And by the way, you're not going to make deals with God either. I mean, how many of you have heard of people doing that? Oh God, if you'll get me out of this mess, I'll never. You know, you're not going to bargain with the Lord. He knows your heart. And he knows if you're regarding iniquity in some way, shape, or form. You can't fool him. And by the way, that's why your prayers are not going to be heard. Cornelius was told that his prayer was heard and that his alms were had in remembrance in the sight of God. And so listen, his life was evaluated by God. God said, you're sincere. You're not holding anything back. So I'm going to send salvation to you. By the way, if you think back to your salvation experience, you had to be that way before God, didn't you? Holding nothing back to be saved. Because guess what? That's the only way you can come to Christ, is if you're not holding anything back. Because He's got to be your all in all. He's got to be your everything. Otherwise, He's nothing. Because if you believe in Jesus Christ and good works to get you to heaven, you're not saved, folks. It's Christ alone. It's not Christ and, well, yeah, Jesus saved me, but I've got to keep myself saved. No, that's works. But if you come to Jesus and say, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, Lord, save me, you're not holding anything. You're not regarding iniquity in your heart. That's the sincerity of salvation. And by the way, why would it be any different when we come before Him and we want to pray and bring a solemn request unto the Supreme Being? Why would we try to do it holding something back? Keeping or regarding iniquity in our hearts. And folks, let me tell you something. In the back of our minds, we know that's what we're doing. We know. But we say, I don't know why God's not hearing me. But you do. But you do. God wants us to be heard. He wants to answer us. By the way, I have some examples of heard prayers. In 1 Kings 9, God answers someone and He says this, The Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built. He's talking to Solomon, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Was Solomon's prayer sincere? Yes. Was he holding anything back or regarding iniquity in his heart? At this point in time, we can say no. So what did God do? Heard his prayer. By the way, when in Chronicles, when Solomon is kind of coming into his own here as a leader, the Lord appears unto Solomon by night. He says, I have heard thy prayer. What did Solomon want? To serve God and to lead God's people. And by the way, at this point in his life, his heart was after what his father taught it to be, after God. It had not yet been turned away by all his many wives. Remember Hezekiah? Everything he had was poured out unto God. He wasn't holding anything back. And God said to him, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Now, I'm not saying you have to cry every time you go to the Lord in prayer. But what's that kind of a sign of? A soft heart. But folks, oftentimes we harden our heart and we hold back from God, and we wonder why our prayers aren't heard. Just as much as the Bible tells us that sin gets in the way of fellowship with the Father, sin gets in the way of our prayers being heard. And I know this is bottom shelf, I know this is simple, but all of us fall prey to this. P-R-E-Y. Because guess what we are? We're but flesh. And if we walk in the flesh, we'll die. But if we walk in the Spirit, we'll live. Over and over again, the Bible tells us about opportunities that people had to pray. Sometimes they were heard. Sometimes they were not. And it all depends upon the person. Just as much as God is willing that none should perish, but that all come to repentance, doesn't mean that all are going to come to repentance. And just as much as willing as God says, when ye pray or you should pray, I want to talk to you, it doesn't mean that he's always going to hear us. Because something gets in the way. And that something is sin. When we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. But I hope that we can be like David. But the Lord hath heard my prayer. Or we can be like Cornelius received word of. Cornelius, your prayer was heard. And Peter came and Peter said, Cornelius, why am I here? And Cornelius said, because God sent you here to, and we're going to hear and we're going to listen to what you have to say about whatever God has commanded you. And then in verses 34 to 43, we understand that Peter preaches the gospel. And Cornelius and his household are born again. You know what? God wants to hear our prayers. But if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us.